Hello, my name is Kath Pennington and I'm an engineering geologist at BGS. I'm on my way to the Geological Society of London to a conference that's focusing on the how, why, when, where, who, etc. of scientists communicating their work to the public. There seems to be a widespread perception that scientists only want to publish their work in scientific journals. This is where the research is explained to an audience already fully in the know, already clued up on the details and what it all means. The perception is that scientists are uncomfortable with publicising their work in any other way, especially if that means communicating with the public. But here's the thing. I don't think this is true. Not anymore, anyway. There seems to be a quiet revolution happening. More and more scientists are braving it out, tweeting, posting, blogging, vlogging, podcasting. Things are changing. But is any of this making any difference? Who reads, views and listens to this stuff? I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody has to say about this at the conference today. I'm here with Professor Ian Stewart at the JOLSOC. We're talking about communicating science to the public. So why is it important that scientists communicate with the public at all?
I think there's a couple of reasons. I think one of the reasons is a very personal one. It's fun. We kind of are very passionate about what we do, and we want to tell other people about why we're passionate, why we care about it. I think on the broader front, it seems to me that geoscience has got really important contributions to make to many of the big issues that we face around resources, around energy, around climate change. And I think geoscience knowledge helps. But I think to make that useful, we need to connect better to the public, to those people out there.
In your talk, you focused on how communicating our science to the public is more than just explaining it in a way that's understandable by anybody. We need to know how differently people think.
Yeah.
And what their beliefs and perceptions are. So how are scientists who've spent all their time honing their skills to become the experts going to understand this whole massive area of social science as well? Or do we need to work more with social scientists?
Well, I definitely think we have to work more with social scientists, but I do think it is a big challenge. I think there's two sets of people who get this. I think one set of people are those geoscientists are very senior, ironically enough. They've seen that the technical explanations just don't work on the politicians they meet or the business leader, etc. And they know there's a new approach. The other ones are the young, early career ones that come in that are still normal enough to know how normal people are, you know. And they kind of go, well, of course we should be talking to people about things and trying to understand their perspectives. The ones that struggle are the ones in the middle, because we've trained them to be the expert, to be that their expertise is what the public demand, and that their job to communicate is to communicate that expertise. So we set them up on that kind of pedestal of being this specialist, this expert. And now we're telling them we want them to go and listen to people who know nothing about it.
So geology is boring, right? Yeah. How do we communicate with the disinterested without having to wait for the next fad like boat face or plastic straws?
So what I do, one of the things, I've got a geoscience communication course that I run with my final year students, and the first thing I do in day one is send them out into the public and ask them what geology means. And it's stones, it's the word boring, it's the word geography, and they come back very depressed. Actually, the most common response is silence.
Really?
Just a blank stare back.
That's so depressing.
It is it kind of, but it reflects our kind of slightly cultish way we see geology. For those who get it, we understand what it is and we love it. But that outside view is stones. It's well-meaning, but it's seen as mundane. And the trouble is, it's very easy to overturn that. You shout volcano, earthquake, dinosaur. But then that creates a problem, because that doesn't give a sense of the diversity of geology. And there's a lot of talk even here today about how do we convey what geology really is.
So it's clear that we as scientists need to communicate better with the public. In fact, it's expected of us. Dr. Laura Roberts spoke about the importance of communicating our science well and to the right people. I asked Laura how we go about motivating reluctant scientists to push their research beyond the confines of the scientific literature and out into the public space.
I think when we're talking about trying to get scientists to engage with science communication through social media and blogging, one of the key things to do is to go back to the basics. What's in it for them? Why do you want them to do it? Outline the benefits to them initially. So in my experience, benefits to using social media on a very personal level have been making connections with people that are otherwise outside of my reach, whether it be because they're geographically removed from me. And when I was a researcher, that was crucial because I wanted to establish those connections. But more broadly, find like-minded people with whom I could collaborate. Beyond that, though, it allowed me to give something back to a more general audience. I was doing some really cool research, and I found that in social media and blogging, I could find an avenue to communicate that, which was barrier-free and that was, in many ways, on my terms. I could write when I wanted, I could tweet when I wanted, and about things that I cared about. And for people who struggle, perhaps, to do that face-to-face, there's an anonymity that is offered when you do something online in your own time. You can go back, you can edit a million times. So I think social media and blogging offer a real safe space that you can control to a certain extent, not so much with social media, but certainly with blogging. So I would encourage people to give it a go at the very least and see if it works out for them.
There were 14 talks in total, all given by either the scientists themselves or science communicators, specialists in making science accessible and relevant. Each explained their experiences and some give advice. Here are a few snippets of what was talked about.
Science, our wonderful logical quantitative science. These great issues or big questions are complicated, and when investigating these big questions about big questions, it can get even more complicated.
Everyone in this room would argue that geoscience knowledge and understanding is pretty important for addressing many of those big real world issues that are taxing or will tax society in the coming decades. But we don't really seem to be too effective often at getting our message across or getting them sort of.
And the main part of this I'm interested in is related to this concept around the fact that new geological technologies are unfamiliar, which makes communicating about them tense.
Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to communicate what you have seen. And do so even if it, maybe especially, if it challenges the prevailing view. I think it's right that we put our science out there and we as individuals are challenged, but also the prevailing view, the paradigm is as well, so that the key questions, the cards are on the table for people, politicians, policymakers and the like to evaluate all those data.
It's really no good just thinking about what do you want to communicate, but what are people going to be interested in?
I understand why communicating geoscience is far from a straightforward task, and why it may often leave the public feeling conflicted and disappointed with the science. And it may leave many researchers thinking, as Richard Davis, the PI of the REFINE project, does, that, I quote, they're just doing the science, yet they're being criticised for more science.
Be prepared for pushback. What one says in terms of the geoscientific story isn't going to be welcomed by everybody. So one has to be resilient, and also sure of one's facts in terms of the data.
So there were several talks on the importance of using different media channels to capture the imagination of the audience.
Making your science relevant to the people that you're trying to communicate with is the key thing you should be trying to do from the offset.
How do you then best engage the audience? So different audiences require maybe different techniques. How best to communicate the message? And then from that, actually, who is going to communicate?
But what you probably don't really do when you're thinking about communicating in research is think of yourselves as journalists, you're still scientists. And what we at the Conversation want to do is get you to take that next step and think like journalists. And the reason for that is because what journalists want to do fundamentally is communicate something and focus very much on making sure the readers are getting what they want, not just on what do we want to tell them.
So blog posts are extremely popular things. Today there's more than, I think this is a stat from WordPress, so this is probably just the WordPress stats. There's more than 450 million different blogs. I would say that it helps share your work that you're doing, because you, all of you guys are doing amazing work, which is actually really relevant to people. It's really relevant to everybody's everyday life, but they don't know you're doing it, because they just don't know, because it's not out there.
This is the scariest thing I've ever done, but also the most fun, and that is Bright Club, where you basically tell your research through stand-up comedy. If you're interested in that, it happens all over the country. They provide training.
To make people actually care, it's not just important to tell them why they should care, but rather why that particular story is relevant to them.
I think that more and more researchers now realise that finding answers to public concerns and questions does not guarantee that people will accept our results. And to understand why this is happening, I think we all need to be educated, not even so much on people's opinions and attitudes, because I think that to a certain extent there are still obstructions that perhaps too easily lend themselves to perilous interpretations. But we need to be educated on people's lived experiences and habits. Finding answers and communicating them is about being tuned to people's experience and public doubt, because it informs us of the realities of negotiating their lives in the complex world. If our science can influence their lives, we need to know what their lives are like.
Broadcasting our work is actually not broadcasting at all. It needs to be a two-way dialogue. It is no longer the one-way transfer of information from the scientist to the audience. We need to describe our work in the best way possible and then be open, willing and ready to talk about it. Scientists aren't refusing to broadcast their work. We're just still learning how to do it. Our training hasn't necessarily prepared us for using social media to publicise our work, and we're nervous about it. So what's the alternative? If you don't communicate your work, you're missing a trick. You are not showing the world why your science matters. And the world is listening. So if I can make a podcast about a trip to London where I basically spent a day in a room listening to talks, then just think about the possibilities. Come on. What are you waiting for? Oh, hang on a minute. You're still there? I just have to tell you that the conference I went to was called Communicating Geoscience, Building Public Interest and Promoting Inclusive Dialogue. It was run by the Petroleum Group, who are a specialist group within the Geological Society. You can also find links to every speaker who features in this podcast on the blog post.